So what do you see? What do you see when you go through our community? I just want to have a little talk before we dive into the sermon on the fruit of the Spirit. Today, July 19th, our church is having is joining with the churches around Richmond at 6 p.m. for a prayer on ending racism, to have racial unity. And so we don't always get the time, each one of us, to talk about our faith and how it's lived out in the world. A lot of times on Sunday morning, it's an invitation for people to get to know Jesus. But as we live it out throughout the week, it comes into contact with how we act in the world, what we believe and our preferences. And one of the places that's come up recently is race. And I want you all to know that here at Central, we believe that all people are welcome. We believe that though there are people who are racist in this world, through the amazing work of Christ, there can be redemption. And the oppressor and the oppressed, through that grace, can come together in community. We have been having a conversation over the book, The Color of Compromise. It's been a hard conversation when we look back at the ways the church, not necessarily here at Central, but in history in America, has been complicit in racism. And it's something we're going to continue to wrestle with, because when we confess that Jesus is Lord, we can confess the sins of the past and know that goodness and truth will come of that. And so we invite all of you to continue to be in prayer about this, to know that we are striving to be a multilingual, multi-ethnic, global movement, because the church is for all people around the world, not just for people that look like us or earn the same amount of money or talk the same way or have the same background. And so that's what Jesus invites us to. And so it's something we're going to continue to be about, because I believe that when we proclaim the gospel, it is an anti-racist message every week. And so we may not spend a full sermon on it, but we'll be mentioning it here and there. And even when we don't, knowing the good news of Jesus is for all people alone helps us understand where things are. And so that's what we continue to offer. And so if any time throughout the week, if you don't have a group of people to work through this, come on in. We'd love to get you plugged in. If you're online and you're wrestling with this and you want a space to talk about this, because maybe every time you try, someone says, oh, that's a racist thought, that's a racist word, because that seems to be the buzzwords right now. So recognize, we'll receive that here and walk with you in grace and truth to get closer to God so we can get closer to one another. And so I invite you to attend if you're able tonight on July 19th. But let us go ahead and go in prayer before we return to the sermon. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ways in which you have created such diversity in this world. Yet, Lord, we are one race that bleeds the same color blood. God, we are united beyond where we live in our histories, because we can be grafted into your story and bear great fruit. So God, we confess the ways we've been complicit and yearn for a courageous Christianity. Be with us this morning, Lord, as we look anew at the ways your Spirit moves us and bears fruit for all people. We offer our hearts, minds, and souls in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you can see here, I love fruit. No, I will not eat all this. I'm going to need some help in that, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I love fruit. I ate salad all the time growing up and sprinkled it in. My dad planted fruit trees around the property. And it was just really neat to see the way that they could just come on. And I learned that fruit grows naturally, right? Like, it's not something you buy at a grocery store or that you then cultivate an orchard. You can go in the woods and find it. Who likes blackberries or black raspberries, right? Who likes them a lot better if there were no ticks or briars? Right, just scarred hands. I would always send my little brother into the deep, big wood. The biggest ones are in there, buddy, right? And help him out with that. Also in the woods, there's other fruit like pawpaws, which are really strange ones. But one of the ones that I came to love were persimmons. Only I didn't know that they were orange at some point. And so someone gave me a green persimmon. And I learned a great lesson, such a great lesson that I had to pass it on to my little brother. And I found green persimmons to give to him. And actually, one time, trying to get him to bite it, I had to put it in my mouth, but I didn't want to damage the fruit, but I accidentally nicked it with my own mouth. And I just Here you go, buddy. If you don't know about a green persimmon, I invite you to ask a parent to try one. And we'll leave it at that. But there's something about fruit that you want to pass something along with it. Not just the love of it, but you look through history, the grapes, the harvest. There's something familial that you pass along. And that passing along is something we're going to be talking about today. What are you passing on in your life? We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and it being pieced together. About how in Acts 2, it's sort of like the box of the puzzle of what the church is supposed to look like, a Holy Spirited community. About how each one of us are uniquely pieces within that. I had a piece here from the puzzle I had. I found it. It got away. How many people have lost pieces of puzzles, right? And it's a unique shape in our lives, and it's a good thing because God calls you uniquely, yet he gifts us. When you receive the Holy Spirit by saying Jesus is Lord, you get gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we receive those. We don't hold on to them. They're not the talents that are always with us, but we use them. We unwrap them, and we use them to fit together with other pieces, to build up the community. And last week, we talked about the embodied spirit community. How we come together, sometimes in metaphors like elbows and ankles and hands and feet, that baptism, dying to our sins and confessing Jesus as Lord is how we come together and join in on that community. But today we're going to talk about how that body builds up and bears fruit. How when we are plugged into the Holy Spirit and the body, we bear fruit for the community. The puzzle metaphor kind of falls apart a little bit here. There is fruit from doing a puzzle. You get community with the people around you as long as they're not stealing the last piece. You're able to categorize your thoughts and process what's going on in the background as you put one piece in and then another. Next week, we're going to be finishing it up. So if you have pictures of doing puzzles during this coronavirus lockdown and now social distancing, please send those in. I want to use those as part of a piece next week about putting puzzles together. So if you have those pictures, email them to me or to anyone in the office. Today, the passage about bearing fruit in Galatians is beautiful. But first, what is a fruit? When we look at these, what is a fruit? First off, we know it's not a vegetable, right? Vegetables are terrible, I'll eat fruit, no. But legally, in the United States in 1893, we had a Supreme Court case that said a tomato, though scientifically, is a seed-bearing, flowering fruit, is considered a vegetable in the United States. Why? Because it had to do with a case on cooking, and that though biologically fruit are seed-bearing parts of the plant from the flower, vegetables are the savory parts of the meal. And so we have biological fruit, but then culinary fruit is defined differently. And so it's a fascinating thing when you begin to look at that. Fruit tastes different, right? When you look up here at the different fruits, there's bitter fruits, there's different shaped fruits, there's sweet fruits, there's cactus pears. Have you ever had a cactus pear? I haven't either. I might try that later. I just found it in whatsoever. There's fruits of all kind. Because that's an amazing part of creation. And a lot of times, we judge what's up here by how it tastes, right? Have people cited their favorite fruit up here yet? I didn't get all the fruit. The ones that if I dropped it would smash, like grapes, right? I didn't put those up here, so I'm sorry about that. I didn't get all of the fruits represented. But we see the beauty of fruits up on the trees, or maybe you love the flowering and the Bradford pear tree that goes everywhere in new suburbs, or did for a while, because of the beauty of it, even though the fruit is small. We see that fruits are a unique part of this world. If you talk to someone like the Wesslers in the Wessler orchards, you find out that fruit take a long time to cultivate. If you plant a seed, sometimes it takes 4 to 6 years before you bear any meaningful fruit. You find out that you have to have the right amount of fertilizer because too much just makes the wood stock, the vines, the branches grow and no flowers produce. You have to prune Otherwise, it's all the energy into producing the wood and not the flower that comes about it. And so I invite you to speak with this wealth of information. I've enjoyed going to the orchard and learning more about apples. But then I started thinking about this, about fruit. So much of the way I have talked about fruit in my life is about me. Do I like it? Am I going to get a fruit cake? Will it be a fruit salad, or will I get to pick out what's going on? But when you think about the purpose of the fruit, the purpose is not about me. It's about the tree. The purpose of the fruit is to protect the seed so that it can develop. And then to attract animals, me, or birds, to carry the seed to a place where the tree can reproduce. It's a way of being a sweetness, a way of attracting so that it can become this vehicle of transportation to spread out the survival of the tree. And so my whole life, I'm looking at all of this up here, and it's always how sweet it is for me. I've never really thought about how many watermelons I planted in watermelon spitting contests. I never thought about how that affected what was going on. But I want us to think about that when we think about the fruits of the Spirit, that we are passing along the seeds of eternal life, that we're asking people to grow into the branch, the vine, the tree, that there's a growth into God's life. Now, when we think about that, we may think, well, what about my life? I mean, when I think about what I've done this week or last week or before I knew Jesus, how can God use that junk to bear such sweet fruit, to pass people into eternal life? You know, Jesus tells a parable just about this. In Luke 13, he says, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. And I believe that's what God is doing in each one of our lives. He's given us a spot in the orchard and allows us to bear fruit by our roots going down to the eternal waters. But if we haven't been fertilizing, if we haven't been cultivating the soil, and we're not bearing fruit, God says, even yet I will pursue them. I will come in and call them in prayer. I will come in and help them connect through scripture and community, and they will bear fruit as they churn towards this loving embrace. And so that dirt of our lives often is where the beautiful things grow. Or as I heard it, say in a very different way, why is the grass greener on the other side? It's because that's where everyone throws their manure. A lot of times, the things, the people that we don't want or we don't want to be a part can be the most beautiful spaces God's message grows. This is what the whole Bible is about. This didn't just start in Galatians, this idea of fruit producing eternal life. When we look at the Bible, when we see God's covenantal faithfulness, we see it growing in some very messed up people. There's a lot of dirt in here where God's loving faithfulness shows up and it takes root. We see it in Eden, the fruit trees, the tree of life, where we can ingest God's life and live eternally. Or we can pick for ourselves a different fruit. To know for ourselves, to decide for ourselves what is good and bad, and be cast down, disconnected from the garden. A different kind of fruit can be born in your life. We see it in Scripture that to recapture Eden, the temple, the tabernacle, had images of pomegranates and date palms to talk about the flowering seed of life. God said to bring your first fruits, be mindful of the ground you're about, that when it produces, to recognize God's place in it. We see in Psalm 1, the very beginning of the prayer book for the people of Israel, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. We see it in Jeremiah lamenting about the people living in Babylon and saying, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in years of drought and never fails to bear fruit." We see it in the prophet Isaiah talking about the stump that was cut down and that how a shoot will come out of the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The spirit of counsel and of power. The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And Isaiah goes on to say it will be for a fruit for all the people. This is the fruit that came to be realized in the branch that was Jesus. His life coming forward. Before he got there, John the Baptist says, "Beware of the fruit of the Pharisees. Have fruit in keeping with repentance." In other words, the way in which you grow, if who you are is rooted in that soil, you will bear fruit that is able to be passed along. Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount, says you will know a tree by its fruit. His parables were about seeds being cast along that must die to self and the flesh to reproduce what is going on. And he said, "Go into all the world. Spread the seed. Be the fruit by which others can grab hold of. And my eternal life can take root inside of them." Paul continues it here and in Romans. James talks about it. And we see in Revelation the tree of life with a river coming from it and the crops of the fruit for the healing of all the nations. And we see that there's a fruit that we are called to pass along. And friends, I ask, what fruit are you passing along? What do your neighbors feast on weekly? Your friends and those who are no longer friends, what did they find tasty about your life? And in your children and in your grandchildren, do you see a seed taking root from the efforts of your life and how you've lived? You see, Alan Hirsch is a missiologist, and he says every Christian should be a church-planting Christian, and every church a church-planting church. In other words, there should be the seeds in our conversations and the ways in which we gather that all people can come and find a home to bear fruit themselves, to love one another well. This is what Paul is picking up in Galatians. Just prior to this, in Galatians 5, he says the whole law is summed up in a command, love one another. This is what we talked about last week, and the body can only stay together if we love one another. It's about community. And he goes on in verse 16, so he says, live by the Spirit. That means daily finding ways to reset your mind on Jesus, to know Jesus more so that the Holy Spirit will fill you. And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature does what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit contrary to the sinful nature. And you're in contact with one another, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You have a freedom. In other words, you're bearing fruit not by working the soil constantly and just being like, okay, if I do this and do this and do this, but by faith, through grace, God works in you if you are just submit and to be part of the soil. The fruit of God works through you as you reject the ways in which the sinful desires of the flesh call for you to live in this moment for yourself, to pick the fruit of the tree of good and bad. And he says here exactly what that is. It reads like a movie poster that invites you to a party. The acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality. Having sex outside of marriage is something that tears apart community. Just ask any friend who ever participated in it and how those relationships went. Impurity and debauchery, the way in which you flaunt these prudish stereotypes, It rips apart the ability for all people to gather. Idolatry and witchcraft. When we set up for ourselves greed, when we set up for ourselves things in our own image, or we try to manipulate the supernatural apart from God, it destroys the community. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. We see some of our current moment embedded in this. It feels good sometimes to have that righteous indignation, but you are ripping apart the community. It may feel good to take a whole group of people and say you're better than them and hating them, but you're tearing apart God's shalom. Selfish ambition and dissensions and factions. It is very comforting to see your resume climb, but if you are here in church, if you are trying to get the Spirit of God in your life to bear that fruit, you will rip yourself out of the vine. If you decide, I'm going to join that church, I'm going to say yes to Jesus so that I can be with that tribe of people, again, you will rip apart the community. It is a space for all people. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. All of these acts, these simple desires that may have good in the proper context when pursued independent of the Spirit, rip apart the community. And you will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, if you let the Spirit in you and you let it work over the years inside of you, if you yearn to know Christ more, you find that fruit is born in your life. Not effortless, not in a way that is exhausting. Have you ever had someone be kind to you to get something out of you? You know that's not a fruit. That's a lot of hard work and action that's exhausting. A fruit is when someone is just kind to you because that's who they're becoming. They're becoming this tree of life, this tree of God, and it's born. So you look at these fruit. The first one is love. Love, where you put others' interests over your own. What Jesus came for, the basis of the relationship of the Trinity, what we are called to do, love one another. It doesn't say love those people who are like you or look like you. In fact, it says love your enemy, love one another. Joy. Joy is not just happiness. Happiness can be wrecked by circumstance. Joy is something that sustains. It surprises you. It continues even when you get that phone call. That joy is still prevalent in your life. It goes down into your roots. Peace. God's shalom, things put in its proper order in your life by the work of the Spirit over time, and then order around you so that all people can flourish. Patience. I think someone prayed for patience in 2020. Patience, this ability to trust that God is at work, even whenever all the circumstances are just grating against your very being. Kindness. Again, that posture towards all people. Goodness, where you let God's will so work in your life that you have to give it away. You're generous with your spirit. Your moral compass is online with what God has revealed. And when you do something from that conviction within, it gives God glory. And so that's the first syllable fruits and the two syllable fruits and then the three syllable fruits. Faithfulness. This ability to know that something was given to you even when you no longer see it. I don't have to turn around to see that the fruit is there because I have faith in the continuation of matter and physical properties. But when God speaks to you, having faith that you should continue to go on, having faith that even though you have that dirt in your life from the past, that it's not going to destroy you, but it's going to give you the resources for you to flower anew, because our God is faithful. Gentleness. You know, this whole letter of Galatians was written to a community ripped apart by false teachers and false prophets. And so Paul is in their faces and says some terrible things, but still, you have to offer God's grace. You need to be gentle with those people around you disagree with, especially those you love and are in your own home, this way of coming alongside one another to invite people in. And finally, self-control. I once heard a teacher say that the first 8 fruits you can have just by being young. Just by the energy of youth. This is why in America we call them the glory days. But self-control, that's one that gets most people. Especially when you're not in line with the Spirit, those desires of the flesh trip us up. And he says, against these there is no law. There is no ledger account. They come forth. They're effortless over time as we cultivate, what does it say? Those who belong to Christ Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Are you knowing Jesus? Are you plugging in to Jesus? Not just a baptism that said you're a part of the body, but a daily pursuit. Continual conversations with your fellow members so that we might bear fruit for our community and the seed be spread. Since we live by the Spirit, stay and walk with the Spirit. It is a daily endeavor. You may have borne fruit for a season, but if you don't tend to the plant, if you don't fertilize, if you don't prune, you may go a couple years without. It's a continuous pursuit. The body produces it. I heard a story recently about Jason Brown. Jason Brown, several years ago, was the highest paid center in the National Football League. Jason Brown received a word from God and turned down the highest contract in history for a center to become a farmer. Jason Brown had never farmed in his life. He didn't know where he was going to go, and so he prayed about it. And he went to the first land available, and along the way he saw a piece of land that wasn't for sale and said, God said that one. And he went to the other one, and they wouldn't do it, and they went to another one and didn't do it, and finally, the one that he whispered to came available and he bought it. Jason Brown, who was farming with old tractors because all of his money was invested already, praying to God, I can't do this anymore. It's too hot on this old tractor, who showed up in the driveway with a tractor given to him. Jason Brown, who wanted to raise chickens but didn't want to go buy roosters and was praying to God about what that meant, saw 2 roosters at the end of his driveway the next day. Jason Brown, who wanted to offer the first fruits of his garden in keeping with the Old Testament, and had the Society of St. Andrew call him and say, hey, we're a network of gleaners. We can bring 100 people out there if you're ever interested. And he goes, I have 80,000 pounds of sweet potatoes. Jason Brown, who's been able to give away over 100,000 pounds of food to keep people alive in his area of North Carolina because he was faithful. Because he was plugged in. He wasn't pursuing the works of the flesh and the promises of this world, but he was bearing fruit that others thought tasted pretty good. That others saw, and he continues to gather people around him. Can you imagine what the seed is for the kingdom are doing? And so my question is, what do others say of our fruit? What do others say of the fruit in your life? What do others say of the fruit of Central United Methodist Church? Are there some out there say, I don't see fruit? That it's bitter? A green persimmon? Or maybe some say, you know, it's good, but it's inconsistent. And so when it's there, it's nice, but I don't know I can lean into that for a source. Are there some out there or some in here who said, you know, it was the best fruit I've ever had? That joy that they had and the peace they offered, the ways and they taught me faith and the self-control, like when I was messing up, and the generosity they gave to me. You know, there's something about the fruit that I came back and back, and I don't know what it was about eating the fruit, but something took root inside of my soul, and I can't explain it, but I became connected to God. It's like roots grew down into the soil and through me, and I'm seeing in my life love where I've never had it. I'm seeing goodness everywhere I go, and I can't explain it. There's something about the community. It's like an orchard of trees that allows us to be connected to God and others. Do we have all the fruit, or are there just some that we're pursuing to the negligence of others? Are we just growing branches? Where are we in our own lives? How are we connected to the soil with what's going on? What are the sources of our attention that bring us fruit? Jesus had a word on this. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that bears fruit he prunes so that will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted. This is my Father's glory, that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Friends, are we abiding in Jesus so that God can work in us?